The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us this morning. Hey, just a quick programming note so that you're not surprised. You know it is Wednesday. You know it's Lent. What happens, Pastor Springer, on Wednesdays in Lent?
Please don't forget your Lenten service at your local congregation tonight. I know that at Trinity Lutheran Ministries in Edwardsville, we serve a meal at 5:30. And have an abbreviated worship service at 7, which still meets bath time, homework time, bedtime. We try to abbreviate it as much as we can, and I certainly encourage you to, as the Lord said to his disciples, watch with me 1 hour.
And no excuses, because if the day catches up with you and you run out of time, don't forget that 11 o'clock today, normally during the hour that we would be having Ask the Pastor, live worship broadcast for Lent coming from Peace Lutheran Church down at Barracks View in South County.
Great.
So that'll be coming up at 11 o'clock today. Well, how are you? Pastor Marty Springer serves at Trinity Lutheran Church over in Edwardsville, Illinois.
I'm doing well, Roland. It's always nice to see you, and I'm honored to be here today.
Well, thank you. You know, your district president was our guest last week.
Oh, great.
On Monday.
Our newly elected district president.
Yeah, Tim Schar.
Tim Schar is a great guy.
He's a cool guy, yeah.
He is. Excellent guy.
And a great conversationalist, too.
Very pastoral.
Really? What do you mean by that? What is it that makes a pastor a good pastor?
Genuine concern, not playing politics, really showing concern for the men who work for him, and his primary goal is success of the district.
Well, it was a lot of fun spending time
with
him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Well, today, you know, you don't have quite as much fun as another colleague of yours from the Illinois side of the river. Pastor Lukomsky was here yesterday, and he had to deal with things like homosexuality and incest and destruction and fire from heaven and all the. Today, what are you going to get?
You don't mean Sodom and Gomorrah, do you?
Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah. And what do you get today? You get sort of,
a little odd.
It's like Hollywood. You know, there are no original stories. Everything is a repeat. You get a little bit of a repeat here in the story of Abraham.
Exactly.
So what is going on at Trinity these days?
Well, we're working on budget. That's always a fun thing.
Didn't need to know that.
We're well involved in our Lenten series. Pastor Shank and our music minister, Jan Arneson, have set up a great Lenten series, The Miracles of Lent, The Darkness, The Earthquake. In fact, I preached a couple of weeks ago on the earthquake, and being from Southern California, I knew what I was talking about. Things are going well, and I'm blessed to be there.
Well, let's begin with prayer and then get right to this story of Abraham and this poor fellow Abimelech.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, and to your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes from above, that your word among us may not be bound, but have free course, and be taught to the upbuilding and edifying of us, your people. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Lenten King. Amen.
Amen. I've got several translations of the Bible. I've got several other resources and commentaries. And the Lutheran Study Bible is very good here. I think you wanted to Study Bible says about this chapter.
I'd like to read the footnote from for 20 and just kind of give us a little Lutheran perspective on it, if that's all right, Roland. This is for 20. He talks about the Negev, and I think we all know about the Negev Desert. The claim that Abraham made that she is my sister, this is the same mistake he made 20 years ago, and if you want to reference that, go to Genesis 12:13. Now, Roland and I were talking, and Roland asked the $64,000 question, is his memory that short? Why did he do it 20 years ago and do it again? And the thing that I was kind of contemplating on the way over here is that we, sinful people, work and finagle and contemplate and plan. And sometimes we tell ourselves this is right. Sometimes we know it isn't right and we don't admit it. And then we expect God to bless it. And if he's not in favor of what we're doing, we can't expect a blessing from it. But the commentary goes on.
Well, there's a second $64,000 question, but I'll wait until we get to that part of the text to ask it. But it goes to a lot of heretical ideas today about what God does for his people and what you can do in order to acquire stuff.
Anytime you get into the what you can do, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Let's pick up at verse 1. Chapter 20, our assignment today for the Bible study. You can join us at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And the official click of the mouse has been made. The email server is up and running, kfuo@kfuo.org. We've had some very good email questions come in over the last couple of weeks.
Great.
So maybe you'll get one of those today.
Great.
Pastor Springer. Okay, beginning from verse 1. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, with verse 2, Pastor Springer, something has had to have happened between the beginning and the end of verse 2.
Obviously.
Because this is just too Joe Friday. You know?
It's just too far-fetched. Why would he do that?
You know,
was not a rhetorical question, Roland.
Yeah, why would he do that? What I want to know is, how does
he know, and why would he do it, and why would he do it in this case with someone this age?
Well, let me ask you even a simpler question. You know, the whole, much like Adam, the whole situation could have been avoided in the first place. Why is Abraham not staying where he was? We had had this discourse with God, this narrative of this conversation where God says, "Look east, look west, it's all yours, it's all yours." Apparently it was good, for what he was doing.
But let's go the other way. Let's go somewhere else. This is good, but there must be something better, or I'm going to chance it, or...
At least when he went to Egypt, there was a famine.
Here, doesn't make sense.
Here he's just wandering around.
Doesn't make sense.
And I was wondering, do you think... Now, we yesterday talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction. Do you think the smell of sulfur was a little bit too much to bear?
I would say it probably was. I think it was still in their nostrils.
So?
You'd think they would remember. But again, who are we dealing with? We're dealing with sinful human beings who have short memories.
Short memories.
You know, think about it. You commit a sin and you say, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry that I did that, and I promise you I won't do it again." And what's the first thing you do?
Well, that same sin.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you and I are in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Thank God for the availing sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because no sin is stronger than his shed blood.
And the thing is, he doesn't depart from where Sodom is to a place where maybe he's not confronted by the smell and the sights of the destruction.
But what do you bet he's heard about it?
But he leaves.
What do you bet he's heard about it?
Well, I don't know. But he goes outside of this area that God has promised him. He goes to a place where he knows there are hostile people.
Why?
Maybe he's just not that bright. Look what he's doing again.
Well, he forgot what happened 20 years ago.
Yeah. It seems like almost too practical of a conclusion, but he doesn't seem very bright.
You know what, Roland? He's having a senior moment.
He is up in age. He's well over 90 at
this
point,
I
think. All right. So he goes outside of Canaan. He's outside of the land that God promised him. And you started talking about he's doing the same thing again. There's got to be a more complex answer than our sinful nature.
No, I don't think there is. I think sin is the whole driving force. We're sinful people. We do sinful, stupid things. And thank God Jesus says, "I forgive you for them."
So when there is a little bit of a euphemism here when it says Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
Took
Sarah. There's something implied there about the word "took Sarah." He wasn't looking for a chess partner.
No. Okay. I don't think they were going to play tiddledywinks.
No. But then starting at verse 3, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, You are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now, when I said, poor Abimelech, Abraham, this is my sister. Just like Pharaoh, this
That's
is my
right.
sister.
That's right.
What did this poor guy do to garner the wrath of
How
God?
How about wrong place, wrong time?
You think Abraham should be the one that God is coming to and going, what have you done?
How about wrong place, wrong time?
Yeah.
Really not. It's in God's plan, but it appears that way.
Well, you know, when you talk about sinful nature, it just struck me.
Uh-oh. I wish you could see Roland's eyes, Roland. This worries me, Roland.
Well, you know, it worked in Egypt, and he made out pretty well. Maybe it'll work again. Or maybe I'm going the wrong direction with that. You see, when you talk about sinful human nature, I look into my own heart and go,
That's exactly what I was saying about what I was thinking about when I was coming over here. We're scheming and planning and laying out the groundwork for it, and we convince ourselves that it's right.
Now, what does this say about Abraham's faith? You know, we look at him as Father Abraham. We talk about, you know, when people die, they go to Abraham's bosom. You know, one of the great characters here in all the narratives of the Old Testament. What is this? I mean, after what happened in Egypt, where God makes everything right and he comes out fine, why does he, you know, he's again doing the same? He must not be a man of very good faith at this point.
He's just like us.
But yet there's still something different about him.
He's still a sinner. That's the key. You know, am I a broken record?
Awfully repetitive, yes.
Am I a broken record?
I bet you talk about this every Sunday, too, don't you?
We're broke. Yeah, you bunch of nasty sinners. I was at circuit yesterday, and I had never heard this. Chief of sinners though I be, he is always worse than me.
Yeah.
You point to the guy next to you.
Let's pick up.
That's not something to joke about, by the way.
Yeah. Now, God has come to Abimelech in a dream. And he is not happy with what Abimelech has done. Picking up at verse 4, it says, "No, Abimelech had not approached her." So he has intentions, but nothing's been, you know, done here.
Consummated.
You know? So he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this.' Then God said to him in a dream," in the dream, "Yes, I know you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." Now, this is an interesting verse, because you can unfold a lot of things out of this. Because if God says to Abimelech, "It was I who kept you from sinning against me," why doesn't God just keep all of us from sinning, period? Apparently, he can.
No, not apparently he can. He's omnipotent. He can. Yeah. He's using this to prove he's God and we're not. Don't you think? He's using it to bring about good and his good and perfect will. Even though it seems odd to us, he's got a plan.
Well, sounding like a sort of a petulant 5-year-old. You know, always asking, why?
What's the surprise, Roland?
Well, you tell me. Yeah. Well, but I don't want to sound that way, but this is the way people think today, Pastor, that something terrible happens, and they go, why does God let such things happen? Well, if he could just, you know, treat us all like Abimelech and keep us from sinning, wouldn't the world be a better place?
Well, the thing that I hear is, I did something, and so God is getting me for it. It's payback time. And what I keep emphasizing is that we all deserve payback. We should all be incinerated by a bolt of lightning, and yet in his compassion, he forgives us by virtue of our faith in Jesus. You've heard that. God is getting me because I did thus or so, right?
Well, is there an implication there that we can sin with reckless abandon, sin with license, and, you know, God is our Jesus, is our get-out-of-jail-free card?
Of course not.
Well, then how do you make that distinction?
Because, well, repentance, genuine repentance, and only God knows that. And I think repentance is the key. You know, even in that situation, oh, Lord, I won't do that again, and you do it again. It's not like we're trying to play a fast one on him and sneak one in. It's that our sinful nature comes into play, and when we are truly repentant, and again, he knows, then he forgives.
So in a way, do you see this, the personality of Abraham at this point, as being sort of me-centered? You know, the world revolves around me, you know, not remembering Egypt. He's maybe a little
bit.
I do.
I don't know. Do you think he was afraid to come forward and say, wait a minute, I better level with you on this?
Well, I was taking it from perhaps a fourth commandment point of view, that he has completely forgotten the harm he brought on other people by doing what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he's going to do it again. What do you think of that?
I think it's a valid point.
Yeah, he's completely oblivious to what, and here it is happening all over again. See, and that's amazing that, you know, we see ourselves as good, God-fearing Christians. We sin sort of with reckless abandon, though sometimes it does cross our mind that we probably should not, and we repent. But we don't really consider what effect our sin has on those around us,
and it does. You know, that's the
even the hidden little sins that nobody knows about.
Yes, because I think eventually they're going to come out. What kind of a Christian are you? I think that's probably the biggest one. I don't want to be associated with someone who claims to be a Christian. The H word comes in there, and I don't want to be associated with you bunch of hypocrites. Well, sorry, but we're all hypocrites.
Earlier in the text, we see that when we have the encounter with the three visitors, the three men, the three angels, perhaps one being the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, when they visit Abraham's camp, and we have the scene where Sarah laughs because she's told we're going to come back in a year.
Be careful about laughing.
Yeah, you'll have a son. And at that point, it tells us that Sarah was somewhere in her 80s, I think.
And so 80 and 20, she was well over 90. Now.
90 years old. And she must have still been a remarkably attractive woman for King Abimelech, A, to have noticed her, and B, to have gotten the idea that he wants to bring her into his household.
You bet. Again, does that make sense to you?
No, it does not.
It does not.
But at this time, people were living what?
Some people were living for a long time.
200-300 years, some people?
A lot of people didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm sure mortality rate was high, but those that God chose for a special purpose lived long lives to fulfill his will. You know, I know a lady in particular who's 87 who could easily pass for 70 and could easily be a senior citizen model. You know? God blesses people that way.
It just made me wonder why in the world would a king
who could have anything he wants
take a wife of that age?
I'm scratching my head.
Unless the answer is because he can.
Possibly.
It's good to be the king, as that old movie says.
But again, why? Roland is shrugging his shoulders, too.
I'm just the guy that hosts the program. You've got all the answers.
No, I don't.
You've been asking me a lot of questions today.
I don't have all the answers. That's because I don't have all the answers.
It just seems that the whole narrative seems so odd from so many different angles. Abraham forgets what happened in Egypt. You would think that... Now, and this, I think there is something maybe to be discussed here about the order of creation. Adam is given Eve as a helpmeet. Abraham has his wife, same arrangement. Adam is supposed to care for and cherish this gift that God has given him. How'd that work out? Not real good. And here we have Abraham doing almost
trying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
He was given it the try.
Yeah.
Again, because he had worked it out in his own mind that this is the way it should be done.
See, that goes back to the question of how much faith, and I know we're talking about a qualitative question here, but the kind of faith that Abraham has, he's gotten the promise, he's gotten a definitive promise, it'll be 1 year from now. They decide to go wandering around. They go down outside of the land that God has promised to a place where Abraham believes there are people that are hostile and unfriendly to him. And he gives up his wife to a stranger.
Well, let me reverse that. As believers, we've got the promise, and yet we don't live like it. I really don't beat the pulpit and preach on sin every Sunday.
You're doing a good job here, my friend.
Not in that way. But yeah. Again, it goes down to that three-letter word.
Sin. See, I just find it astonishing that the promise has been given. He's had a visitation by someone who he understands is not just the average guy, the average traveler coming down the road. The promise is made, I will be back in 1 year, you will have a son, and he gives his wife to another guy. We'll go to the calls. Don't worry.
I'm sorry. I'm pointing at the screen.
You're doing your best to get away from me here.
504. Don't laugh at me, Roland. I can't help it.
When you lose control, it just, you know.
John, I'm trying to look out for you, despite Roland.
I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the ride from this point. John, good morning. Come on in.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Reverend Springer.
Good morning.
Very, very interesting show, as usual. Just had a real quick question. Do we know approximately about a time frame when this was going on, you know, what year this was happening? Just out of curiosity, I was kind of curious to know.
I'm not quite sure. It looks like, you know, from Pastor Springer, probably not.
Here
you go. Just refer to it as prehistoric time.
There you go. That's a good catch-all answer. We know that approximately 20 years has passed since it happened before, which helps us age the individuals.
Right.
But a calendar timeline on a linear scale, I just don't think that there is such a thing.
The problem, John, is I cannot drag my entire library into the studio with me. There is a great book. Well, you bring up a very good question, because timelines are critically important in Scripture.
Yeah.
And there's a great book by Dr. Andrew Steinman out of Concordia, Chicago. I've interviewed him a couple of different times on the program. It's called From Abraham to, I believe, Paul, A Biblical Chronology. If you go to cph.org and you search Andrew Steinman, that book will come up. Andrew Steinman, and it's a chronology of all of these events in Scripture, Old and New Testament.
Is that like a little personal bio on each of them too?
It's like a timeline. What's going on?
I've not heard of it. It's
great. It's a great chronology of what happens. You know, it starts with Abraham and then works its way forward.
I'm sorry, we couldn't be more specific, John. Does that cover it?
Absolutely does.
We appreciate you calling in. Don't forget Lenten services tonight.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, John. Good to hear from you. Yeah, that book is very good. It's very detailed, and like I said, there's a little bit of bios, and you get a lot of other information about events that were going on at the same time. So it's helpful to know, because chronologies are so, wouldn't you say, critically important.
I think so.
Things happen according to God's plan at the appointed time. Boy, that sounds almost like the Christmas story, doesn't it?
You'd think.
We're in
the wrong season of the year, Roland.
Well, not really. But yeah, I want to stay just for a moment on this. There is something that caught my attention in one of my commentaries about Abraham doing this. Obviously, Abraham is going to have to, I guess in the biblical terminology, know his wife in order for this promise to be fulfilled. Now, if Abimelech takes Sarah into his house for the same purpose, do you think a year from now when this child is born there might be a little confusion as to whose son this may be?
I think there's going to be some problems.
So this is why God has kept...
Has, for whatever reason, put his hands between the two of them and said, go to your neutral corners. How's that?
We'll pick up after the break on that, because, again, this is important, I think. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO@KFUO.org. The mail server's up and running. We're waiting for you. The break is a great time to call in. Take advantage of it. You don't have to wait until the last 5 minutes of the program.
Dr. C.F.W. Walther once told his seminary students, "I wish to talk the Christian doctrine into your very heart, enabling you to come forward as living witnesses with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do not want you to be standing in your pulpits like lifeless statues, but to speak with confidence and cheerful courage." Today, Concordia Seminary still strives to do just that.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Jaski from Time of Grace. Did you know that in addition to hearing Time of Grace every Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on KFUO, you can also see Time of Grace every Sunday morning? Watch us on ABC 30 every Sunday morning at 6:30 for some straight talk and real hope.
Saturday mornings at 11:30 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? Several times in recent weeks I have mentioned a little book written in 1960 by John W. Doberstein. In his Lutheran prayer book, he assembled orders for daily prayer. The genius of his book in is attaching a petition of the Lord's Prayer to each day of the week. I think his best suggestion came in the Thursday devotion when he asked for us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." To this petition, he attached prayers for our government and for the nations of the world. Now, for a second, that sounds a little awkward, but it makes sense the more we think about it. St. Paul offers us a model for Christian living based on this petition when he gives us instruction for the classes he calls slaves and masters. But don't let these job titles distract you from the apostle's point. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." If citizens and leaders could conduct themselves in this manner, and nations in such wise with one another, then we may indeed see God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, at least from time to time. Let's pray about it. Lord, the most powerful weapons you build into your created order are not guns and laws, but love and forgiveness. Teach us and our leaders, dear Lord, to know forgiveness and to wage peace and love. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Good morning and welcome back to the Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Marty Springer from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. Thank you for sticking around.
Good to be here, Roland. Thanks again.
Now, I still marvel at, now, you know, who am I but pastor, honestly, pastor? If you show me a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire, parting of the Red Sea, if I'm visited by three men who are just so unusual that I have this understanding that there's some, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more faithful. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to what God tells me.
At least for a little while. See, you see what I mean?
And I would never have turned Joseph and Mary away.
No.
And I never would have yelled, crucify him.
Okay, now who's talking about sin?
Is it
rubbing off on you?
Yeah, but it doesn't change. See, no. I'm glad you spent as much time talking about sin in the first part of the program as you did, because you look at Abraham and you go,
who?
Boy, that's me. Nothing's changed.
Well, when St. Paul, who was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, called himself the chief of sinners, we're right in there.
Yeah. Because I can point a finger at Abraham and go, what a jerk, gives his wife up to another man, the promise has been given to him. But then, you know, you get to this awkward moment in Scripture called the Sermon on the Mount, where every time, you know, you're flipping past MTV, you pause for a moment and go, you've just done the same thing to your wife that Abraham did to Sarah.
You're absolutely right.
Betrayed her. Why do they put up with us?
I'm not going there.
And my wife is listening now. This is one of those moments where my wife goes, don't you listen to your own program?
See, my wife teaches during the day, so I'm off the hook.
Oh, now let's pick up at verse 7 here and get a little bit more of this text under our belt. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Now then, return the man's wife, this is God speaking to Abimelech, for he is a prophet, so that he will pay.
Now you were getting ready to say pay.
Yeah.
Pray.
Well, I'm thinking ahead too, because
all right, don't do that.
There's going to be some payment coming as well. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And you read the next line, Pastor.
Ooh, boy. Now I got to find out what number is it. We talked about
eight.
It before.
And the men were very much afraid.
Oh, very much afraid.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before the broadcast. Again, hey, you know, we're messing with something here that's going to get us in trouble. They even knew it.
I guess in a way, you know, now things have changed today, you know, because if
you think?
Well, when you look at things like, you know, the number of church vandalisms that are taking place, when you look at the number of robberies where people are breaking into churches and stealing whatever's not nailed down and that kind of thing, it used to be, at least at some point, that there was sort of a common understanding that was just somewhere you didn't go. You were a criminal, you did criminal things,
well,
but
so
you just didn't do it
in
church.
Someone stole two of our church signs.
Yeah.
Now, why, I have no idea, but they did.
Yeah, there was just sort of this sense, this understanding that it was just a little bit too far to do something like that. We've completely lost this now.
Yeah, we have.
So at least these men have the good sense that something is going on that, See, now, dreams are something different today, too. I don't know if you remember what you dreamt about last night. I don't. I know I woke up too early and didn't like the fact that...
Unless you do it immediately after you wake, you're not going to remember it.
Dreams are very important things at this time.
Thank you, Sigmund Freud.
I'm going by the scripture. I don't. Dr. Freud aside, if you think about Scrooge, what does Scrooge say when he is visited by a spirit? Ah, it was a bit of bad potato. It was what.
There's more gravy about you than ghosts.
Yeah, exactly. So Abimelech takes this dream very seriously, and not just personally, but he calls everybody around him and says, boy, let me tell you what's going on here. So I was wondering what you thought about, you know, dreams and how important they are to Scripture.
Certainly important in Scripture. You know, dream after dream after dream. Again, a way for God to communicate. He can communicate any way he wants. But there is a preponderance of him choosing to appear to people in dreams and visions and the like.
Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? Now that is the question of the day.
Yes, it is. What have you done?
And how I have sinned against you, that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin. You have done to me things that ought not to be done. Understatement of Genesis chapter 20. And what does Abraham say? He doesn't say anything. Abimelech keeps speaking in verse 10. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you see that you did this thing?" Now we get Abraham coming back. When you hear Abraham's response, what does this to you say about this man, Abraham? Abraham said, "I did it because I thought there is no fear of God in all this place, and they will kill me because of my wife."
What's he doing?
I think Dr. Gibbs here at the seminary refers to that as a presupposition.
You're right. And if Dr. Gibbs said it, it's gospel.
Do you think that if Abraham would have gone in and not been afraid, but had told the king, "You cannot have this woman, she's my wife, and I am promised a child by God," and he explained, sort of did a little bit of evangelism, that perhaps if he didn't have this presupposition, we have a different story?
I think the king might have thought he was crazy, but I don't think he would have gotten in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, don't you think the king would have scratched his head?
Well, I just wonder if we miss, because of our presuppositions, opportunities to do what is right for Christ,
right,
when we should.
Right.
You know, it's not politically correct. I mean, you know, look what happens when, oh, boy, just recently you've got, what, Bill Maher mocking Christians again, and, yesterday watching some program that Bill Maher, who's this HBO character, sent a camera crew down into Mississippi or Alabama or someplace, and of course he finds the strangest toothless people he can find as representative, and they're all talking about, well, you know, Jesus Christ, if you don't have Jesus Christ,
and then
the
mocks
mockery.
It.
You know, perhaps now's the time not to say, "Oh, she's my sister." Now's the time to perhaps stand up and go, "Yeah, I am a Christian. What's it to you? Bring your best. I got something better."
And we don't do it because Jesus is going to bless us, but he will bless us for standing up for him, for standing up for what is right and opposing what is wrong.
"Besides, she is indeed my sister, so it's only a half lie." You see, Pastor, it wasn't so bad.
See,
it was a half lie.
Is that a white lie then, Roland?
I don't know. They're all kind of black to me. Because that's the color of sin, right? If you look at the Luther Rose, the seal, isn't that what the black there is?
There you go.
And isn't that why you guys wear black?
Well, I don't wear the cassock and surplice. I just wear the all, but I have a cassock and surplice, and that's the idea. The cassock is black for sin, the surplice is white for Christ's redemption, and then the stole.
And then it covers, your sin is covered.
Covers the sin.
"Besides, she's indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother."
Okay. Stepsister.
Stepsister, yeah, sort of. "And she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'This is the kindness you must do to me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother.'" Oh.
Okay.
Is he kind of blaming God here?
Well, he's certainly going to make her lie.
Sounds awfully like Adam again, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Wherever we go. "Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.' To Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone you are vindicated.'" Now, why is that important? Could it be that, again, he wants to make it absolutely proven that there was no funny business that went on between?
I think.
So that when this child is born, no one's going to question.
There's no doubt.
Who the father is?
Sure.
You know, one of the commentaries said something about the average price, the average dowry was like 50 pieces of silver. And here he's giving 1,000.
Yeah.
That's a pretty remarkable
number. Not to mention
this time.
Sheep and oxen, a servant, a male and female servant. Where's the 1,000 pieces? Oh.
In verse 8.
And 1,000 pieces of silver, yeah, as a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all. And before all, you are vindicated.
This is, could I refer to this as sort of a bold act of repentance?
I think.
On the part of Abimelech?
I think.
God comes to you, convicts you of your sin, and...
And you want to make it right.
How do you respond?
You say, "Thank you, God."
You confess, yeah.
I was wrong, you're right, and and thank you for forgiving me.
Who would have thought that was in the Old Testament, too? I thought that was a New Testament thing.
There's gospel. Roland, you know as well as I that there's gospel in the Old Testament.
But does everyone know this?
No, everyone does not know it, and that's unfortunate.
There's gospel in the Jesus in the Old Testament,
you
too.
You bet.
We take for granted. I wonder. Let's finish the text here, then I'll go on to my next question for you. Then Abraham, this is verse 17, prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. Ooh, well, there was something going on there. Apparently he afflicted him, too. It's not just a dream, but there must have been something else going on. And he also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. Well, now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Don't you think that God caused the women of Abimelech's kingdom to not be able to conceive and have children?
Yeah, the footnote said he allowed a disease to affect the king and the entire household, making it impossible for them to conceive. And Abraham prayed for their healing. Pretty big affliction.
So there is going to be absolutely no doubt that if Sarah is pregnant, it only came by one way, and that this child is the child of the promise. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. You'd think there would have been an easier way to do it. I'd still marvel at that. Now, if we go back to the earliest parts of Genesis, I really do want to sort of beat on this for just a little bit more. This promise is what endures. Pastor Springer, how important, because we are so distracted today. You know, even dear old Harold Camping yesterday was in the news. Remember Harold Camping?
Mm-mm.
He's the fellow that kept predicting when the world was going to end and then kept revising.
Is this the guy who said, sell everything, go to the mountaintop, he's coming?
Well, his people were doing that. They were tramps.
Was this the guy in Arkansas?
I think so.
Okay.
He, Family Radio Network
is
what he runs.
Yeah,
he may have been based in California by this point in time.
Yeah.
It was even in the news yesterday that he said, I've sinned. I should never have done this. God is the one who knows his timeline. I know nothing about it.
He obviously didn't get the memo that when Jesus said, only the Father knows.
Right. So God's the one that's in control.
Whether we like it or not.
So why do we like the monkey with the works?
Do you want me to give you my answer?
Yes, I do.
Because we're sinners.
Again, the same old thing.
Because sometimes he has to grab us by the lapels and say, "Are you?" And look us right in the eye and say, I'm God and you're not. Shut up and color. My wife's a third grade teacher.
Isn't it funny that even the stalwarts of the faith fall into these, what we would call horrendous sins, giving your wife over to another man?
What do you think he was thinking?
What Abraham was thinking?
Yeah. While this was happening. Is he? Wow. Isn't he? Are they? Aren't they? What have I done? Did he feel guilt pangs? Was he struggling internally? What do you think?
I don't know. He just watched. He witnessed, because one of the scenes closing out chapter 19 is Abraham looking down on what is now the smoking remains, burning like a furnace, smoking like a furnace, I think is the way the text put it, of Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet he is afraid that this God who just destroyed this entire valley and all things living in it couldn't protect him. So I've got an impression of what he's thinking, but I don't know why.
Because he was a sinner and didn't trust God's promise. Because the devil, Roland, knows what buttons to push. And he's not going to push the same button on you that he does on me. But he's going to push those buttons, and anything that he can do to drive a wedge between our relationship with Christ, then that's what he's going to do.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go back to the phones and talk with Randy. Good morning, Randy. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Roland.
Good morning, Randy. Thanks for calling.
The question I had was about Sarah and the king.
Be careful, because Pastor Spring will probably say sin, and then we'll have to move on.
Roland, you're not very nice today.
Well, I mean, she was 90 and couldn't conceive without God helping anyway, so why were they worried that God might make a mistake and go ahead and let him have the miracle?
That's
son?
A good question, Randy. That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you, but it's a good question.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
I'm sorry.
See, I warned him. It's always back to sin. But you see, that maybe is the theme of this hour that you've developed so well, Pastor Springer, is that it really is that simple. We go off looking for psychology, we look for sociology, we look for all sorts of other things, and it really is that simple.
In the same way that faith is simple, sin is more simple. More simple.
What would your wife say?
She would correct me, I can tell you.
And poor Abimelech. I still have to come back to him. Poor Abimelech.
That poor schmuck.
Yeah. he thinks he's just doing what he's doing. It's just, it was the rule of the day, much like Pharaoh, and this horrible thing comes upon him. But is it such a horrible thing to come to know the one true God?
Absolutely not.
Now, do we know...
That's God bringing good out of bad.
And the presuppositions we talked about, Abraham and his presuppositions, these were godless people. They did not fear God. Oh, yeah, I think I see a streak of fear in Abimelech here. So he was absolutely wrong in prejudging them.
I think you're right.
So we don't know much more about Abimelech after this event, do we?
No, we really don't.
As far as we know?
Not that I know of.
And the lessons... Well, I mean, if you were given this text, if you had to preach on this, what do you focus on in this text if you're doing a homiletical study of how to preach on Genesis chapter
God's 20. Faithfulness to Abraham in spite of God's faithfulness to us in spite of God's love, God's forgiveness in spite of is that in spite of love, that agape love, I love you even though I think
so. You wouldn't preach a sermon that said something about so Abraham behaves badly, he lies, he's a bad guest in a foreign land, he presupposes bad things about the people. He disses all of them there. He disses their king.
I would, but then I would turn it right back around and balance law and gospel and bring it to a conclusion that way.
But again, now this is the other $64,000 question that I was going to pose to you. Why does Abraham get to make off like a bandit? Where's the punishment for Abraham?
You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head.
You are, and that's and you can't say sin
know.
To that one. That's
I don't know. Do you?
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you. And we'll finish out the last 10 minutes of the program that way. That's the thing that caught my attention.
Because
Pharaoh is punished, Abimelech is punished.
Because he covenanted with Abraham. That's the only answer that I have. What do you think?
I would go back perhaps earlier in the text, not in this chapter, but a couple of chapters back, where you might get the impression that Sarah can be a little bit of a nag. So it's not in the text. I mean, I'm speculating wildly, and you're here to rein me in if I do so. But perhaps that was its own punishment, that there was, he has to deal with Sarah the rest of the day.
Well, and certainly...
And you think she might remind him of what he did again?
Well, and certainly she's not going to be a happy camper because she'll have no prodigy because she can't become pregnant in a day when family was everything, when large families were everything.
So because Abraham covenanted with God, was he above the law?
Because God covenanted with Abraham.
Okay, I got that backwards. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Is he above the law?
No. He's not.
Because you might get that impression.
I think you might. I don't think anyone's above the law. There are consequences for our actions. And obviously Christ forgives. Obviously his shed blood is there for a purpose. But I don't think anyone's above the law. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Ready for another call?
Ready for another call.
You ready for a call from a brother pastor?
As long as he doesn't make it too difficult. Pastor Neuer, good morning.
Good morning to you as well. Good morning, gentlemen. Please forgive my voice. My voice is a little bit hoarse with the call that I got.
That's right. Where do you serve, Pastor Neuer?
I serve and I wash feet in Armour, South Dakota.
Oh, my goodness. God bless you.
I have been blessed. My cup runneth over. I've been here for 18 years, so the Lord's been gracious to me as always.
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, two things. Number one, you said, well, what is the punishment for Abraham? It's probably not in the text immediately, but Abraham is punished because God does justly. He doesn't just cover sin. That's number one. Later on, the length of time of God guiding and leading Abraham is a way to teach him to trust him. Right now, Abraham is doing things on his own. The last portion of the chapter, Abraham prays for Abimelech that his wives to conceive. And what is the one thing God has promised Abraham? That his wife will conceive. It's ironic, isn't it?
Yes.
He's praying for the prayer that he is praying for. Literally should be for his wife, but now he is doing it for the others. You just contemplate on the irony of that. Number three, I don't know if you understood what is the meaning of Abimelech means, my father is king.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a note in my Bible, and I thank you for that.
It is. Now, notice this. Abimelech blesses Abraham with all of these things. 1,000 shekels of silver. Actually, in the Hebrew, it doesn't say, it just says silver, but literally it's a scale that is used, and all of the cattle, and literally that become personified in God, the Father of all human creations. And then as you begin chapter 21, what's the first thing? God was gracious to Sarah, and
right.
She conceives.
And bears Isaac.
It is just precious. When you read it in the Hebrew, it's just precious.
And God bless you for keeping up on your Hebrew.
Thank you.
Well, you know, that's where Pastor Neuer was born, was the Holy Land. And you know, Pastor Neuer, since you're on the line, why don't you mention, because you lead a tour back there every once in a while, don't you?
I do, but I hate to take this time from the special people. That
No. Please share a little with us.
I am taking a tour to the Holy Land, visiting both countries of Jordan as well as Israel, departing out of Minneapolis on October the 22nd, and we return on the 4th of November.
Do you worry about the instability there as you travel?
No, that's my home. You know, when I was at the seminary, they said, don't go to East St. Louis. And I wondered why. So you can avoid...
I understand.
So there are certain areas in my country I avoid. I don't listen to the media because it's all hyped up.
Right.
I call my family and I say, how does it look? If they say, come, I take off. If they say, no, I don't. I have family there. The media is like piranhas. Mm-hmm. They just feed you that terrible thing.
Now, we have 10 seconds, Pastor. Now, why don't you give the contact information real quick? Because
605-724-2489.
Thank you, my friend.
God bless
you.
Thank you for your call.
Take care of yourself and get healthy again, okay? Pastor Marty Springer, thank you for your time serving over at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. All the best to our good friends over there.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. God bless you, Roland.
You as well. Thank you.
God bless our listeners.
Coming up next, we have live worship from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County for your midweek Lenten services. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Study on KFUO Radio, underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor coming up next, hour two of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.